the magic of watching that photo develop and watching those colors come up, it's never not awesome. It's never not just like, what the fuck is gonna happen?
Yeah.
And I just love that so much. Like, there is just something so like marvelous and delightful and maybe even kind of playful in that, that recognition of like, that's you. That's you. Like, you are walking around with all of that radiance and all of that color and all of that magic all the time.
Welcome to Settling is Bullshit, a sweary podcast about claiming your joy. If you are craving healthier boundaries, a greater sense of purpose, or an increased capacity to feel at ease in your own skin, then you are in the right place, my friend. I'm your host, Kate Blauk, joy activist and life coach to smart and sensitive humans. I'm here to offer you practical tools and playful encouragement to step forward and be your most awesome self. My hope is that each episode will leave you feeling a bit more empowered to make brave choices and claim your joy. Hello, my dear. Happy Pride 2025. What better way to celebrate than to talk about the rainbow? Today's guest is an aura photographer and also a burlesque dancer. And Selena also has a day job that we totally didn't talk about because it's not actually what's relevant to this really fun conversation about like what colors can kind of mean and represent about our outlook on life, our disposition, our mood, all of it. Now, you may be thinking, Kate, I don't have a picture of my aura. How is this relevant to my life? And what I'll say is that it's a really interesting dive into thinking about like the colors that we gravitate towards and how those might kind of have a flavor of who we are as a person. And obviously, if you live in the Pacific Northwest and want to get a picture of your aura, I've included in the show notes some of Selena's upcoming events where you can get a picture taken. And if you're just listening to this and not on my email list, well, first you should go sign up. Go to settlingisbullshit.com and just give me your email address and then you'll get updates every time I post a new episode. But you'll also be able to see the visuals of the pictures of my aura that she took way back on Halloween, which is how this all started, and also some pictures that she's taken of herself. And that can just be a helpful thing to look at as you're listening to her talk through some of these things. And honestly, it's a conversation about just the magic of being your fabulous self and embracing the things that are maybe a little bit offbeat or weird or kooky or woo and saying, fuck yeah, this brings me joy. I really enjoy Selena's outlook on life around all of that, of just really embracing the things that make us happy. So it's a fun listen, highly recommend as per usual. And if you haven't done this already, please recommend this podcast by leaving a review or a rating wherever you're listening. And I have a super exciting offer for you, my love. For this summer, all of it, I am offering $75 sample sessions if you want to get a flavor of coaching with me. You can always go and book a free chemistry call. We'll hop on the phone for 30 minutes and just kind of talk about what it would be like to work together. Or now you can pay me $75 and we'll spend an hour working on a topic and you'll get a sense of what it actually is like to coach with me. And I think that would be super fun. So planting that seed, putting it in your little brain as you dive into this gorgeous episode about color. So, oh my gosh, I am so excited to be here with Selena today. I met you on Halloween or Samhain when you were doing an aura photography event. And you took my aura photograph and gave me a reading. And it was so magical and on point. And I was like, oh, I need to have you on the podcast. So we're here to talk about auras and also about burlesque, because that is another facet of your magicalness.
Yeah.
But how would you introduce yourself to listeners? Who are you, Selena?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's fair to admit that we had a little bit of a dry run of what I was going to say just a few minutes ago, because I was like, I don't know what the fuck to say.
Yeah.
And what I landed on was probably like a little bit of an atypical introduction, was that like how I feel about aura photography and the creative things that I do is aligned with that Liz Gilbert quote, which you have very kindly pushed here for me so I don't butcher it. The universe buries strange jewels deep within us all and then stands back to see if we can find them. The hunt to discover those jewels, that's creative living. I feel like aura photography is fully one of my strange jewels, and I feel just like so dynamite that I figured it out.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to get into your backstory, but before you can go there, like, what even is an aura and how do you take a picture of it?
Great. Okay. So I think it is very, very important for me to sort of put a big umbrella qualifier on this, that like I, being on this side of things as the person who sort of has positioned myself as some kind of knower or authority, I am very much still like in the caterpillar goo of learning about auras and learning about colors. And I often encourage people who I can tell, or because they ask, want a lot more, to do as much reading as you can, because there are a lot of very sweet and nuanced variations depending on who you talk to and what their background is and, you know, what kind of like what their orientation is towards with these colors. And so how I like to talk about the colors that I see is from a pretty deeply intuitive place.
So, okay, but like backing up just even a little bit.
Yeah.
What is an aura?
An aura is the electromagnetic field that is around every living being. So you, me, a mushroom, a blade of grass, any living being has this electromagnetic energetic output. And it has been come to acceptance that that energetic output has color associations. And then with those colors come meaning and nuance.
Right.
So that is an aura. And it is, as I understand, I can't see auras. But I've read about people who can, and I've read about things you can do to sort of train yourself. I have not given that a whole lot of time or energy, because I'm just very satisfied and settled with where I am at in the journey with the camera and with the photos that it produces. But yeah, it is invisible to most people, although I've been told that some people can see auras. Yeah. Many people who come to me afterwards will say that they have had someone who could see their colors and have told them what they were. And this is what's interesting too, is that we're not static at all.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, do we have kind of a core color that stays with us?
Ooh,
or
question.
Do we change all the time? Is it like a mood ring? Is our aura our, you know, electromagnetic mood ring?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And I think my short answer is going to be yep.
Okay.
So what I've kind of come to embrace and see in the photos, largely through photographing myself kind of ad nauseum, is that so when we're looking at an aura photo, I lovingly call the colors that are like very close to the body and like very hugged in around you the weather system.
Okay.
And that will change. I could take a photo of you and then take a photo of you 5 hours later, and those colors may have shifted because we're in a different mental space, or we're thinking about something different, or our mood has changed, or we have a different thought or energy going. And what I've sort of observed is that the further afield you go through the layers of the aura, the more you get into what I refer to in the readings as like essence colors, the colors that tend to shift less or less drastically over short periods of time, but can change drastically with like a large emotional impact, or if you like are really in like a stress or an excitement, or just over time. And most of my photos, I know what my baseline is and I can see where I'm not like with my baseline. And I do lots of manipulation things with the camera. Like I will really think about something, or I will focus on an emotion that's associated with a color because I want to see if I can get myself to pull that color.
And how does that work?
I would say that I have like about a 70% success rate, which feels pretty statistical, given that this is all just like completely fucking invented. Like, come on. I mean, I'm not, I love this so much, but I'm not so far down the rabbit hole to say that like there's probably a great deal of accuracy and intuition that assigns mm-hmm. meaning to these colors, but it's still humans that have done that assignment. This was still invented somewhere along the way. The fact that so many people identify very closely with the readings that I give is the part that I'm like, okay, I don't know how this, because I'm just reading the colors. And I am also reading the person sitting in front of me, right?
Like,
I don't really take any responsibility for, you know, how people feel, but I just want them to be connected. Like if I can establish that, then whatever emotions they have that kind of enter to that connection with themselves and with the photo, that's my goal.
Yeah. So what does it, so it's cute. I asked you, you started doing mine and I was like, oh my God, can I record this?
Yeah.
And I have the recording and I will probably tack it on to the end of our conversation.
Oh, cool.
Because part of the reason that we're here is because I was having that experience of just like, how do you know this? right. And I guess I'm just so curious, like, what is it that you are able to see in someone's aura?
Speaking a bit more clinically, I would say that you can really see, depending on what colors they pull, mood and disposition of that moment. Mm-hmm. You can also see those ways that people interpret the world or go about life or like their general mindset towards things. And there are things that I read in the photos that I know are very divergent than how other aura photographers read them because, you know, the aura cam, like stripping it all the way back, the aura cam, the equipment that I use, you know, comes with a guide, like, and it tells you like blue means this and green means this. And I was like, okay, well, this is feels very basic. So I, you know, I kind of dialed into the interwebs and, you know, tapped into a few people who, you know, talk about energy and auras and then a few people who actually have been doing aura photography. Like I kind of tried to take like a large sample group and, you know, it was very much I took what I liked and I left the rest because ultimately like I have to believe in what I'm delivering and I have to feel confident enough to field questions about it should I get them. And so there were some things that in my very Scorpio way, I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to say that.
Deeply relatable. even though I'm not a Scorpio, but I think, you know, I just think about tarot readings, right? You know, we have this system, we have these 78 cards, they have archetypical meanings, but like any tarot reader you go to, you're going to pull the same cards, you're going to get a different reading. Yep. Right. And I think that's what is really lovely about the personal dynamic of all of this stuff, right? It's like I can go to a different aura photographer and they're going to tell me something different. And that, you know, won't make it untrue. It's just like, oh, what's the dynamic here that this person is going to help me to see? So what I would love to hear, like your take on like the sort of broad color energies of a person's disposition. So like if somebody's like a yellow disposition, what does that mean?
I've really come to embrace yellow as just very joyful. This is how I approach yellow. That of all the colors that can mean how you do life or how you look at the world or how you interpret things, which a lot of colors can give that. Yellow is just joy. Mm-hmm. Like get the fuck out of a yellow's way and let them shine their joy light. Like that's what they're here to do. Like let yellow just go be shiny and joyful and just like make a nice little like moat of space around them to just be joy. So I love when yellow shows up because I'm like, what's so happy right now? What's exciting you? Like, what is your joy right now? And this is what I really love when I see yellow, as I'm always like, tell me more. Right. Like, and I think that's sort of, you know, skipping around just a bit. Like, I think that is something that I really appreciate about my approach is like, not everyone that sits with me gets that, but some people do, of where I'm just like, I see joy and now I would love to know what you've got going on. Yes. Because, like, I'm not a psychic. I'm not a medium. Like, I don't know, like, what else it is that you have going on, but this is what I see with this color. And like, it looks really exciting. And like, can I know about it? And I think that that opens it up for more of a dialogue. We can get really disconnected from ourselves, or we can be in environments that just don't have us feeling our best, or that slowly erode our good feelings about ourselves that we don't realize. And this is the one thing that I really fucking love about aura photography, is that it is a piece of art of you for you.
Yeah.
And that is the marvel. The magic of watching that photo develop and watching those colors come up, it's never not awesome. It's never not just like, what the fuck is gonna happen?
Yeah.
And I just love that so much. Like, there is just something so like marvelous and delightful, and maybe even kind of playful in that, of just like, what's it gonna be? And then that recognition of like, that's you. That's you. Like, you are walking around with all of that radiance and all of that color and all of that magic all the time. And it may not be the same colors, but like, that is what's happening. And that's the thing I like to tell people, especially when we talk about the anatomy of the aura, and like, the further afield you get more into those essence colors. And I tell people, like, everything that you encounter, somebody honking their horn at you, somebody being like weird to you in a parking lot, like in a grocery, but wherever the fuck, is that everything that comes at you passes literally through the filters of those colors, like the outer edges of your aura and then in. And it just, like, it doesn't matter what it is. And I think reminding people of their own fortitude through that, right? Of like, these colors are here and they're part of you, but like, you can also embrace those as a protection. There are certain colors that are very quiet, but they're very powerful.
Like,
and
what?
Like, blue is one of them. Like, blue is a very quiet, powerful color. And I'm always like, do you know about yourself? Because oftentimes, right? Like, we're told usually, most of us, so many not good things, maybe even since we were young, right? You know, and even if it wasn't from family members, if it was like peers, and fucking kids are so fucking mean to each other.
Kids are super mean, dude.
Just what the fuck. And so I feel like just like the process of becoming an adult also includes a lot of erosion, I think, of like that playful self and of that inquisitive self. And when we have moments as adults where we can feel that deficit, even if we don't name it, that in my mind is the thing that brings people to a curiosity like aura photography. And you get to reacquaint with a part of yourself that maybe you don't even remember, but now suddenly you feel like very invested in learning again. You know, that's what I love. That's what I love about it, is just like reacquainting people with parts of themselves that they either like really are hungry to be reminded of, or needed it and didn't know it, or like are so grateful when that reminder arrives, right?
Yeah, because something calls us to these practices, right? Whether it's aura photography or tarot or Reiki or psychic readings, there's a part of us that's like, I am curious to see what someone who doesn't know me sees in me.
Yeah.
Right? Or around me, or on me, or for me.
Yeah.
And so there is some sort of call. And yeah, I love that. So we talked about yellow.
Yeah.
Talked a little bit about blue.
Yeah.
What is purple, as someone who has purple hair at the moment?
That's right.
Purple, and that's one of my brand colors and one of my favorite colors. So what does purple represent for you?
Purple is lovely for a lot of reasons. And purple is a very like wonderful layered complex color, because there's like purple, and then there's violet, and then there's kind of like that indigo-y purple into indigo kind of. So they all kind of carry like slightly different meanings. But what I really love when I see purple show up, how I've come to read that, is that it often really speaks to that person's sort of intuition, empathy, and alignment with themselves. Mm-hmm. And how I usually like to tell people is that usually when that much purple shows up, it oftentimes is like some kind of spiritual or energetic alignment. It's like sort of a demonstration of that. I also tend to see is that people who carry a lot of purple tend to be folks who have found that thing in their life that really makes them feel like joy and vitality. It's rarely the thing that we do for money. It's almost always something that's small and on the side. And I'm going to kind of go off on a small tangent because a really good friend of mine, who's she and I talk a lot about how we as adults with these very busy lives and needing to feed ourselves and needing to pay bills and do all these things, how we stay connected to those things that really make us feel alive and vital, right? Mm-hmm. Not living, not the same.
Yeah.
And so what I love about purple is that it's almost always someone who has found that thing. And the part two of that with my friend that we talk about is just like this really interesting broader recognition that's showing up more in the vernacular of how much patriarchy has whittled away at like craft and hobbies, and how often the things that women like traditionally, you know, women do, not to be on the gender binary, but just to be able to say it plainly, any kind of craft, sewing, embroidery, repair work on clothing, stitching, sewing, you know, those old world practices that used to be pretty essential to life are now considered, you know, accessory, because there's just so much machine, blah, 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 blah. But we talk about that a lot, about the denigration of like hobbies and craft. Yeah. And so I have found that like my small, like anti-patriarchy, anti-capitalist needle to thread when I'm doing this work is to uplift and validate the sweet, tender things that people, primarily feminine presenting folks, really love, that brings them joy, that brings them that vitality that is often done with your hands, you know, craft. And I think about when I'm speaking to people about the presence of purple, is I'm just like, it can be walking in the woods and you like to collect rocks or sticks or little bits of moss.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's a cool clump of moss.
I look for heart-shaped rocks.
Same. My mom loves heart-shaped rocks. It's been a thing since I was little.
Aww.
And so reminding people that like this purple is so clarified and beautiful because you have found a way to include that thing in your life that is really keeping you vital. And it's rarely the thing that we do for money.
Yeah.
And when I say that, usually a big smile comes across people's faces because they can be reminded that it is not just this thing to get like dismissed, which it often is by society at large, and maybe even by family members and parents, because they're all just parroting the same fucking garbage rhetoric that was said to them when they were kids that dismissed their creative instincts. That is how we all end up so miserable as adults. And so just reminding people of that, of just like, is it baking? Is it knitting? Is it a book club? These are all creative expression. And what I love when I see purple show up is that it's usually somebody who's very sensitive. It's usually somebody who's very empathetic. So when I see that much purple occupying someone's space, I'm always just like, how's that feeling? Like, how's that feeling? It must be fucking awesome. And sometimes people don't realize, but when you can affirm that, like, you know what? Your baking hobby is essential. Mm-hmm. And just like, fuck all the way off to anyone who tries to reduce that or minimize it or not celebrate it with you the way that it lives so fully for you in your life and in your sphere.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, that just affirms my deep and abiding love of purple. Like, what? So do you feel like there's a correlation between kind of aura color and just how people, I don't know, experience color in their lives and in their worlds, or bringing that in?
You know, I think the more that I'm doing this, the more I'm going to move from like an I don't know to a yes, probably.
Okay.
So this happened with you. Very dramatically happened with you, where people will show up and either be predominantly wearing a color or have a hair color that shows up as like a predominant color in their field. And you will recall that I was like, well, I'll be goddamn, after your photo came all the way, you literally had the exact same colors in your aura as your logo, and you handed me one of your stickers, and I was like, sticker, photo. I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Literally, your aura colors are your logo colors. And you, like, you literally, like, exact. Like, pull up the fucking Pantone color chart right now, because... tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was amazing, especially because I had just gotten those stickers. I had just recently gotten that logo overhaul, and it was just wonderful and magical. And I was wearing my unicorn onesie that kind of like went with the whole color palette.
It was fucking perfect. It was just
it was pretty great.
It was so good.
So this is what I love. I think that we generally know about ourselves, and I've definitely sat down with some people who had some pretty who had some pretty grim auras. And what's curious and what reminded me of that is that often one of the colors that will show up in those very distressed photos is purple. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we kind of get to like the shadow side and the light side of just like sometimes it's about who you are, how you see the world, how you go about life, how you interpret things. And sometimes it's about what you are in need of. Purple is about empathy and intuition and softness and caring. That's definitely part of it, of just wanting to feel like I can like have some kind of messaging and not just like float through a reading and be like, oh, I don't see you, because it's going to be awkward and difficult to talk about something that's kind of painful. That part of it is a little bit tricky for purple, because oftentimes if people are in a dark place and they pull purple, it is because they are in desperate need of the resources that purple offers. Empathy, someone to be attuned to them, someone to offer kindness and softness, and someone to just see them, usually someone to hold space. Purples are usually folks who are excellent at holding space because they've been through some shit. They can see it when other people are going through some shit. They can see it because they know. They know. They recognize it in themselves. And so that's where purples are incredibly skilled and like an incredible part of like this whole dynamic of like what each of the colors brings. Cause this is what I love is way, way, way back in the day when I used to teach dance, on the first day of class, I would ask everyone to tell me like, what was their name? What was their reason for being in class? And what is something that's really fun that you would consider like your secret superpower? Like no one in the room would guess that about you. And people always said like wonderfully grounded things like, I'm excellent at gardening, or like, I actually write and I think I'm a really good storyteller. Like I really loved making a space where people would want to brag on themselves. And you'd go around the room and you'd get done and be like, what a delightful village. We have someone who likes to cook. We have someone who's good at tending the garden. We have someone who loves writing and is into playwriting. And so we have our entertainment. Like, look at this amazing village. And this is so interesting for myself as the practitioner. Mm-hmm. That's the right word. You know, when I'm doing this all day long and I'm looking at all these photos and looking at all this color, I'm just like, what an insane stitching together we are as the collective.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and you know, it's really lovely to sort of watch that in your Instagram feed, right? Because you'll post pictures of the auras, and they're like all so different.
They're so different.
Also, you know, interweaving a lot of the same shit, but it's like this, you know, we're all part of the rainbow. Like, yeah. Really?
We really truly are. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just keep working backwards. So blue. what's going on when blue shows up?
Well, it depends on what shade. You know, there's like lighter blue, like kind of what you would think of as kind of more in that like sort of soft, like kind of baby blue, sort of like past like the lighter blue. Sky blue means something very different than indigo. But what I love about blue and indigo is that collectively they do have some overlap, and it's a lot about curiosity, philosophy, inquisitive. What I always like to remind people of is like when we see that shade of blue, you know, what does it remind us of in real life? We have the ocean, we have rain, we have air over great distances that are all these incredible colors of blue, and they are very, very powerful, but they don't need to announce themselves because they just are. And so when I sit down with somebody who's got a lot of blue, that's that whole, do you know about yourself? Because it's very easy for us, especially right now, where the person who is like the most blustery and the most puffed up and dominating the most physical space is perceived to be the person with power. And it's almost always the person who's hugging the wall that doesn't want to be in the spotlight that is very authentically and genuinely powerful, but have managed oftentimes, right? This is a big sweeping blanket statement, but like oftentimes have managed to cross paths with like just the wrong kind of psycho enough times, narcissists, bullies, whatever, that they are very diminished and they don't know about themselves. And so when I sit with people who are blue, I'm always like, have you learned about yourself yet? Like, do you know? Am I sitting with someone who already knows, or are you here to start learning about it?
Right. Is this the beginning of your journey? Or
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I love blue. And indigo, you know, indigo is much higher up on the chakra ladder. Like indigo is at the very top, like crown chakra, third eye, it's sitting up there. So, you know, very high degree of like attunement, alignment, you know, curiosity, intuition, right? All those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Green.
Green. I love green so much. So on the chakra ladder, you know, green sits at heart. I like to embrace green as like our mental color. It's our thinking color. Green, as I've really come to embrace it, is very much the filter. So if we're up here in like blue and purple land in all of our like ideation and positing and concepting and thinking, we pass all of that through the filter of green, which makes it a tangible idea that we can bring to life. So I often will give the example of, you know, making a dress or making a cake or doing a painting, that you have this idea or this inspiration, but it's very nebulous and unexact. And then you pass that through the filter of green, and then it's suddenly like, I know exactly what kind of dress I want to make. I know what I want to pattern. I know what material I'm going to go buy, you know, or like whatever that is. And I love green for that reason. Green also has like a lot of definition and variety to it. You know, green has some abundance to it and some momentum. Mm-hmm. So I really love, depending on where green shows up in the field, it can be about what I just said, or it can really be about having some momentum behind you for something that you'd like to do. Like think about plants and how they photosynthesize. Even the fact that money is green, at least in the US, it's green. You know, so we think about like the color that we make our currency that most of us deal with daily. And so there's just a lot of momentum. But how I like to tell people is that like green is a slow burn, very supportive color, because photosynthesis is a long cyclical process. It always happens again, but it takes a while to complete one cycle. So I like to remind people, like, if you're thinking about something or whatever that thing is, and it can be big or small, I feel like oftentimes I can see like the wheels turning and people are trying to think of like this big, grand, like marvelous thing that they like haven't figured out what I'm talking about. And I'm like, no. It can be much more subtle. It can be something simple. Like I've been wanting to paint a wall in my house for like 2 years and I'm finally going to do it this weekend, right?
Right.
That green kicks in to support us. So I really love when green shows up over heart chakra, because it can mean a lot about how you show love and care and affection and effort mm-hmm. and attention. And I love green for that reason. Green is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I just recently moved offices and my former office was green. And cool. Now I've got some purple walls, but I feel
I love it.
I like that photosynthesis, that like slow unfolding energy of like bringing something out into the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about yellow at the top. Yep. So orange.
I think I've come to have a very different embrace of orange than the majority of what I've consumed on orange. Mm-hmm. And I've really come to embrace orange as like a rebel color. Rebel. Mm-hmm. I think that oranges have a lot of like very interesting and curious rebellion to them, and not like a rebel for rebel's sake, right? It's not just like obnoxious and vibrato. I like orange because oranges tend to have an interest and an ability to plan and organize and be structured, but oranges are very unafraid to go, ooh, something shiny, and completely go off the path, go away from the plan, and pursue the thing that they think is curious or interesting. And what I love to say about oranges is that they just carry this real like rebel audacity to them. So like oranges have that mindset to just be like, they're available generally for the happy accident. They're generally available for life to happen and for them to be able to really make lemonade out of that. And what I also love about oranges that is more part of like the common sort of embrace of that color is that I've heard and I've read a fair bit about orange and community. Oranges tend to be very unintentionally keen at developing community around that because they want to be in league with other people who were like, oh my God, I was rock climbing the other day and I just tried this weird thing with my hand and I think I invented a new hold and like, I can't wait to show you. And like, even though I still fell, like while I was training, right? Like that is what oranges have the ability to do. And I love that about them. Like,
yeah,
I love that about them. And orange and magenta kind of carry some of that. Like, I love to say that like orange is rebel in doing and magenta is orange in spirit. So oranges are very much just like, I'm going on an adventure and I would love for you to get in the boat and row. But if you don't want to, that's fine. But you don't get to stand in my way. Uh-huh. And magentas are usually folks who are just your quintessential march to the beat of their own drum. And I usually, like, I always tell people, I'm like, you probably already know this about yourself to some degree. Like, you right. probably have known about yourself for a long time that you think differently about things, that, like, you think slightly adjacent to what is, quote unquote, normal. And you've probably known that, like, the way that you talked or thought about things when you were a kid would have been different from your peers, would have been slightly different than the way you heard adults explain it. Or like maybe as you went through school or life or early on in your jobs, right, when you're still like learning and forming, but like you can still understand that like, I think about that just a little bit differently, right? And so I love magentas for that also of like, get in the boat and row, but you don't get to be in my way. Yeah. And this is also what I love about oranges is that oranges tend to be pretty nimble because they often carry that mindset of just like, well, this is cool. This is cool too. They don't tend to get hung up for long. If they end up in a situation where, they are like in an environment where there's some kind of like thwarting or some kind of blocking happening, whatever that is, however subtle, whether it's just like small verbal digs or someone dissuading them from the thing they know they want to do, oranges are pretty good at getting out of that. Like oranges don't stay boondoggled for long.
Okay. And what about red then?
Red. I always tell reds, if you have a red in the friend group, let them pack the car, let them plan the vacation. Reds are on task. Reds are the project managers and the accountants and the athletes of the world. That is who reds are. Reds are, they love order and organization and structure. Red is also, and I lovingly say it's like that Venn diagram of like my athletes and my nerds, because those are people who generally really appreciate order and structure and a plan and organization. And reds are, I think a lot of times they carry like a very strong like project manager vibe, mm-hmm. like however you really want to like call that or vocab that out through different types of existence. But this is what I love about reds. Red is also at the bottom of the chakra ladder. It's right. It's our root chakra. It's our closest mm-hmm. energetic node to the earth. So there's something very grounded and very physical about red. But that's where sort of red and orange diverge, is that like a red is like, no, we're staying on task. We're following the plan. We're staying ordered and organized. And oranges are like, yes, until.
Until there's a shiny that I want to pursue.
Yes, until. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like what's really lovely is that we've kind of sort of started at like the deep spectrum end of the rainbow and sort of gone, you know, from like crown chakra all the way down to root chakra. But what's wild is that, you know, it's very much like tree branches. It's like red is this, and red then goes into orange, which is some of red, but then like its own divergence. And then as you get yeah. sort of higher up this like chakra ladder or like the tree of energetic nodes, you end up really just kind of having like sweet little departures and from the previous color and evolution into the other color. It's like the decade never ends on the 00, right? The decade ends 2 or 3 years in, right? When we think right. about fashion, and it's like we talk about fashion of the late 90s, we also mean 2003.
Right.
Like, you know right, what I right. mean? Like we also, and so I feel like that's kind of what these colors do, is that they sort of iterate and then they just gain something new as you sort of climb.
Yeah. And what's really cool at looking at the pictures, right, is like nobody is just one thing.
Rarely. I mean, sometimes people are all like, sometimes I feel like the colors that I've gotten that are singular, all purple, all blue, or all red, which is interesting.
Those are the
I've
three.
Never, ever pulled someone who was like all yellow, all orange, all green. It's just been purple, blue, and red. Red tends to be pretty even and very saturated. Purple tends to have a lot of different tonality, like it will get very sort of pastel and very light, and then it will go deep kind of into that indigo zone. And then the blue also tends to carry like that sort of soft sky blue into an indigo. Sometimes there's a little bit of like teal in there, like turquoise. But yeah, it's also very curious. And I've spent some time thinking about that, but I haven't really formed many thoughts on that yet. Other than that, some of the colors that I mentioned, they're pretty intense. They're either like a very intense vibration or a very like buoyant, busy vibration. That's like, they're both equally like challenging emotionally or energetically to stay in for too long or be in too much of. I think probably the only way to pull colors like that would be if somebody was like having an altered experience. I would guess that like I could probably, you know, guide someone in such a way if they were on some kind of substance, like to think of a thing or like give just a few sort of like thought prompts or like think of a time when or what is a memory that. That's what I do with myself without being altered. That's what I do with the camera, because I take a photo of myself at the beginning of every session to make sure that the camera's calibrated and like all the things are working as I'm expecting them to. And so I often try to like, I mean, I'm lovingly saying trick the camera. I mean, I'm not tricking anybody, but it's just like, can I get more yellow today than I normally do? And I will just sit and I will smile and I will often think about my love, because she makes me very happy. And I've gotten like an overwhelming amount of yellow before, and the yellow, I usually get small swaths of it, but never like a dominance. And I've gotten that when I just really like tune in and pause and think, which is also curious because like I'm literally getting ready to have a 6-hour event and like my first person is usually like already in the shop or around waiting. And so there's not like any like, oh yeah, like drop in and like, no. No, like at the end of the day, like I'm ultimately running a business, right? And I have to stay like present and up here. Like I can't be doing this like energetic dive. I've got to be the one who carries the room all day.
Yeah. Well, and what I hear in that is just the way in which like our thoughts matter.
They matter.
And like the things that we feed our little brains really do matter and really can have an impact.
Yeah, big time.
Right. And then it just like actually visually shows up in aura photography is like super cool to me. Like,
well, that's what I love, because
so cool.
It's a reminder. It's like, see?
Yeah.
How you speak to yourself and all of those like, you know, those like thought goblins sometimes that get a hold of us. Like all of that is like, it means something and it matters. Yeah.
Yeah. It like impacts us on an electromagnetic energetic level. I would love to know how you found your way to aura photography as one of the gems deep within you.
Yes. I had a direct report at the job I was working at, who later became a very good friend, and we are still very close. And she was like, going to go get an aura photo this weekend. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And this was probably 9 years ago now. And I went and got an aura photo done. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? When can I come back? And, you know, the way that it was happening was that like the event was sold out, but there was like a small opportunity to like kind of do a drop in. And I just like, I was there with my fucking cash and I was ready to stand in line and I got in. And then a few years later, I went and had another one. And ever since then, like, I've just loved it. Like, I've loved it. So before I knew the process of procuring this camera equipment, you know, I was like, oh, always like Googling like aura photography X, whatever city I was going to.
Yeah.
So Lindsay and I went up to BC for her birthday, and I Googled aura photography before I went and magically found someone. We had an orthophoto. Lindsay had never had one. I introduced her to even the concept and what it was. And we went and we got one, and we paid for one for me, one for her, and one for us together. And the aura reader up there was so lovely. And I mean, she must have spent like damn near 45 minutes with us just on our three photos, which is really beautiful. And we got in the car and I was like, why am I not doing this? Like, I love this so much. Why am I not doing this? That thought quickly within a few minutes evolved into, I'm doing this. Let's spend the drive home thinking of a business name. And we rolled around with a few things. None of them ended up being the winner. Your Cosmic Crown, well, Cosmic Crown came to me, I think, like maybe a week or two later, because when my brain gets to needling on something, I like, that is my creative brain. I'm in it. I'm with it. I'm on it.
Yeah.
And so that was how it started. And then I, you know, I literally just started searching about the camera equipment. I had no idea. In hindsight now, I just like, I feel like it's very comical that I thought it was going to be, I had a figure in my head. this far exceeded that figure. And I also just like had this, I mean, because I do have a bit of a photography background. So I really loved photography in high school and college. And I had my own enlarger. And I was developing my own film and my own photos in a makeshift bathroom / dark room. So I've always loved photography. And so I think I just had some thought, it was instinct on what this camera equipment would be, or like how it would be that I would procure it or make it or whatever. No, fake news. Big fucking fake news. So I found a company that, you know, is probably not the only company in the world, but the only company in the world that Google would show me, I guess, right? You know, and I looked through a couple different search engines just in case, but they're located in California. It's not necessarily an interview process, but kind of. And so I got a camera from them, and I was off to the races. And that is how I sort of ended up in this place. And it has just been completely awesome. It's been completely awesome. I have so much joy, like just such a wild, like disbelieving gratitude every day that I do this and I come home. It's somehow I'm so just like wildly energized. Like, I mean, I wake up in the day and I'm like, okay, great. I'm excited to do this thing that I love. And I get home and I'm just like on fire. And I don't even know how that's possible, to be expending for 6 hours through like really wild emotional territory with people and feel so vital and feel so alive. But I do.
Yeah. And that is very obvious in your sessions.
Oh, thank right? you. Thank like, you. It's really great because, I mean, people come back. So I get that feedback, but it's kind of not in an attention seeking way, but like it can be a little lonely because I'm like,
sure.
Did that land? Did that work? Are we feeling it? Are we not feeling it? I never get feedback. Right. And you know, I mean, I guess the feedback I get is like if people like, you know, were to leave me like a shit Google review, which I don't really know that anybody would have that much energy over, you know, a 10 minute appointment and a photo. I don't know. But it's really, really great to hear. And I feel like oftentimes like the smiles and the exuberance of people when they leave is like enough feedback to know that I'm on the right path with how I sort of craft those 10 minutes with people. But it's still really great to hear. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about all of this. How do people find you?
Yep. So my website is Your Cosmic Crown. And that is also my Instagram handle, @ Your Cosmic Crown.
And both will be in the show notes, of course.
Yes. I really, really love my Instagram because it now is just this really wonderful album for me. Like I get to look back and just see all of the like really lovely faces that have sat down with me. And that feels just so special.
Well, we've certainly talked about a lot of the different things that bring you joy.
Yes.
What is something that you haven't yet told us about that brings you joy?
I mean, I think probably to bring it back to burlesque, you know, burlesque brings me a lot of joy. I love burlesque for a lot of the same reasons I love aura photography, even though they're so different from each other. But I just think that, like, very plainly said, I love attention and I love giving other people attention. Like when I'm around people who are like, no spotlight, I'm like, oh, fuck all that noise. Let's go. Like, I really love to celebrate people. I you know, I really enjoy giving compliments. Like, I am a very like unabashed person. Like, if you see me on the street and you're wearing a coat or a pair of shoes or your hair is styled in a certain way, like, I'm certainly going to open my mouth and tell you. And so I really love giving people attention when they're in those sessions with me. I love giving my audience members attention when I'm performing burlesque, and I love that attention back. And so I think that just being very, very squarely settled, settled with something that, like, at first glance probably sounds like very vain, and I just don't really care. Like, I love doing burlesque. I perform and I also MC, which has provided this like really whole fun other channel to be in burlesque and like engage with the audience. And I just really love both of these things. And I just feel a tremendous amount of like luck that I've discovered them. You know, they're both completely self-propelled. If I decided to stop performing burlesque tomorrow, like, no one gives a shit. No producers are going to come knock on my door and be like, where are you? There's hundreds of people who are ready to go. And so it's one of those things where I just feel so fortunate that I have found a lane with these things, because I think that's also a big part of my nature. Like, I'm a pretty self-propelled person for some things, and aura photography is no different. Like,
yeah,
I mean, yes, it's a service people love and it's a fun thing to do. But like, if I went away tomorrow, like, no one is harmed by that. No one is like ultimately missing out. This is a luxury adventure, not a necessary, right? This isn't an economy adventure. So that is very joyful to me. And I really hate that, like, the word gratitude has just gotten like so mucked up with like all this like white woman bullshit as a white woman. but I just like, it's really impossible to not say gratitude, because I will still wake up and be like, how the fuck is this my life? Mm-hmm. I say this all the time. It's so funny. I say it at the end of every burlesque session or event show. And I say it, you know, at the end of it, just like, I am so fucking lucky that I just found these two things. Like, I mean, I thought I fucking struck it so hard when I found burlesque. And I was just like, fuck this thing. And I'm like, I'm good at it. And people like how I do it. And it's fucking fun. And I get to craft and I get to make all these insane costumes and I get to make them sparkly. And like, it's wild to me that I have found this channel, not with just burlesque. Like, the universe was like, we're not done yet.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I love that. I love that for anyone who's listening who like hasn't found it yet, right?
Yeah.
Like, or has found one. There might be another one. Like, the universe is like, we're not done yet.
No. And this is what I tell people, you know, when I'm emceeing, who like come to my burlesque shows, is that like, whatever it is that you do in your life, whatever it is that you like, whoever it is that you do it with, go find that fucking thing. Go find that thing with those people that makes you feel alive. Like, and I say that all the time to my audience, like, that is my wish for you, is that you get to leave this environment where you just had all this like dazzling excitement, but that you find something else that hits that same pitch that you are generating. Go do that. And that's my hope for everyone. And I realize like, that's maybe not everybody's jam, or that might be a lot of energy and people just are looking for like little bits here and there, but
probably not listeners to this podcast.
Even there we go. There we go. So even if it's a more quiet and serene activity that you do, visiting the ocean, walking in nature, it doesn't matter. Find that group of people, because that is the thing that I haven't really said, because aura photography is a little bit more of a lone wolf game. And even though most burlesque is performed individually, I lovingly joke that the real show is backstage. The real show is fucking backstage. And the friendships that I have formed from burlesque, and the community that I have from burlesque, and the lifelines that I have had through burlesque, it's unlike anything else. And when I think about the fact that I just have this readily and in abundance, that's what sort of gives me that, like, how lucky am I? And I desperately want, I want that for everyone. I want that for everyone.
Me too. Amen.
Hey, women.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please help me grow the podcast by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with anyone you think would benefit from hearing it too. Your support means the world to me. If you'd like to get updates about new episodes, posts, and offerings, please visit settlingisbullshit.com to subscribe to my newsletter. You can also find information there about working with me one-on-one to build your most amazing life. Until next time, remember that I believe in you and that you are fucking awesome.